Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast that's all about radio. Recently at the NAB show in Las Vegas, I had the opportunity to sit down with thought leaders from across the industry. We talked about their plans, what they are dealing with currently, what they see as the future of the industry. We talked about collaboration, outcomes for advertisers, and really transformational ideas around the business. A big thank you to Inco and Benstown, our partners, for allowing us to bring the Radio on Main Street podcast booth to the NAB show exhibit floor yet again this year. Well, in the eighth episode of our series, you will hear a conversation I had with Heather Cohen, who is the president of the Weiss Agency, a leading talent agency in the country. We discuss changes that Heather has seen on the content side of the business, the evolution from radio to audio and now video, and how it's a multi-platform world for the personalities that she represents and for her as well. We are at NAB 2025. Hello, I'm Mike Holvey, president and CEO of the RAB, and I am thrilled to have on this podcast my very good friend Heather Cohen from the Weiss Agency. You are the president now. This is a role that has evolved in just what, in the last year and a half or so.
Indeed.
Welcome to Main Street. Welcome to the crossroads here at our Inco studio. And last year you had a couple of your clients who were here with Erica Farber. That was a very cool experience, but the technology is only getting better and it's exciting. And we may be in the audio space, but video is very much a part of what we do these days, is it not? And your clients very much are a part of that too.
Indeed. I never thought I'd spend so much time focused on video. Yes, we had Young Jock here last year and Amanda Orlando from Cumulus, and they had the best time. They really had the best time. But this is just inspiring. Mike, I haven't really worked the floor the way that I want to work this magnificent floor in quite a few years. And seeing your setup here, I'm energized. I want to spend time touching buttons, having a little fun. But this is great. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. And I want to do a shout out to our partners at Inco, because they have all this amazing technology with a number of their partners who provide this experience, who our viewers are watching, and with remote cameras and what looks like a sound stage, which is actually a narrow green screen, which I think is amazing. Yesterday, which would have been day two of the show, we had a group of students from the BEA who were participating in a tour of vendors. And we had a group of students, over 10 students from, they were Indiana and Pennsylvania broadcast students. And the team here at Inco put them on set. They walked them through what the technology was available. And in one case, there was this young man and his jaw dropped. It literally dropped, and the team from Inco looked at him and they laughed and they said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "I can't believe what I'm seeing."
It's
I love
remarkable.
That. Isn't that cool?
It's remarkable. I remember being a board op and then a producer at WOR Radio in New York, 7:10 a.m., when Rick Buckley owned the station, and we used Enco, and I was very nervous. I had to go for all this Enco training. So, wow, look where we've come. It's exciting.
Tell us about your role.
My role as president of the Weiss Agency. So I work for Eric Weiss, who's our founder. I am a talent agent. I can no longer say broadcast talent agent. My world has evolved so much where, you know, it's the Amazons of the world that are now part of my sphere. But radio is still my passion, my love. And of course, podcasting. I think I fought it for years, and now I'm having, I think, way too much fun in that space. But audio will always be my love. And we represent leaders in every format. So if you look at top 40, news, talk, sports, urban, AC, hot AC, country. We are very, very fortunate to represent some of the leaders in all of those formats, whether local radio or syndication.
So as you mentioned podcast, and you know, and one of the key things that I've seen is how radio has expanded. Yesterday, I spoke on three different panels, or led three different panels. And I kept saying the same thing, that I believe radio's bright days are ahead because we can connect with audiences now in more ways than ever.
Absolutely. It's so many different platforms. I speak to a lot of young people, and I've shared this several times, but they'll say, oh, I don't listen to radio. Yes, you do. You just don't realize. You may not be turning on the radio, but you are getting radio on a different platform. And it's a part of your life and very often your daily existence. I'm excited about radio. I mean, my gosh, look what the LA radio stations did during the fires. You know, I was glued to KFI specifically because we represent quite a few people there. It was magnificent, and it was a trusted source, and it was many people's best friend and their lifeline. It was, you know, these were their therapists. This is where they got their information during probably the most frightening time of their lives. So I believe in radio more than I ever have. And, well, I've been doing this since I was 14, you know, a few years ago.
You and I share that.
We do, indeed.
A couple of weeks ago, and I live up on the north side of Indianapolis, and we had a tornado that touched down 2 miles from my home. And I have been involved in radio like you literally since 14. You and I have a very similar story.
Yes, we do.
And so as a professional in the industry, like when my wife always says, when the kids were younger and the tornado sirens would go off, we would head to the basement and you would go to the radio station.
That's right.
So this past couple weeks ago from the time that we are recording this, when the tornado sirens were going, I didn't have a radio station to go to. So it's like the first time. And so I went to my safe space. My adult children, my two adult daughters live in that same community. So what I did was I was a consumer. Like I shifted into a consumer. This reinforces your point. And I flipped on WIBC in Indianapolis, and I had the radio station on. I was getting live updates. I had my tablet on, and I was tracking the storm. I was sending information to my daughters so that could reassure them that it was going to be okay. But the tip of that spear was local radio. So that was in Indianapolis, and it was like the first time in my life I was a consumer only.
It's
and
hard.
How important, though, that was,
you know,
much like your Los Angeles story.
Absolutely. I was at WOR during 9/11 and was right there and saw everything out the window and produced for many, many hours. I still have this feeling inside me when there's unfortunately a disaster. I have this weird desire to be at a radio station. That's still home for me. Those are my roots. I want to be there. I want to be producing like I did so many years ago. But, you know, speaking of tornadoes, and of course, Nashville recently went through some pretty tough weather. But a few years ago, WTN's Brian Wilson, he recently retired, brilliant broadcaster, his home was struck by a tornado. I believe it was his bedroom was actually struck by a tornado. He was fortunately okay. And then he got in his truck and he drove to the radio station. And that's what broadcasters do. That's what radio personalities do.
Well, let's shift to those radio personalities because that's the center of your universe. You had mentioned in your open here a few minutes ago how you have expanding conversations, my term, and beyond traditional broadcast companies that you're engaging with on behalf of the talent. Kind of walk us through what that journey is like now.
You know, I say this to students all the time. Every day, there's a moment where I'm a little bit afraid, or more than one moment, because I have to learn new things. It's not an option. We are all reinventing ourselves on a daily basis. And that means that we need to understand new technologies and new platforms. I will always be radio first, but yes, my world has grown. And I think to be a good representative of talent, to manage people's careers, I need to know everything I possibly can. So I try to read everything that I can. And yes, so there's radio and everything I can learn about the radio industry, but I also need to understand the streaming world. I need to understand what's popping up from an audio perspective and from a video perspective, because most of my talent are doing multiple things. And they're doing multiple things for the radio company that they work for, which is no longer necessarily just a radio company. Right. But those are the people that overall will be doing this for a very long time. They have to. We don't have a choice.
We start with the premise that the definition of radio has changed.
Yes.
And you have to start the conversation from that perspective. And there's no question about it.
it has changed and it has evolved. And you now, as we talked about, you now have all these communications channels. You have all these different ways that, you know, that our talent engages. And I go back and I think about when we started in the industry and what the expectation was for the person who came in and sat down behind the mic. And now oh my gosh, the brands have just exploded. You know, you mentioned Young Jock, who last year was here and was on set with Erica along with Amanda, and it was a great conversation. And when it was done, Young Jock looks around at this setup. When you and I are looking around, we're on the floor here at NAB at Inco, and he goes, I'm getting ready to rebuild my studio. And I think this is something I should consider. The next thing you know, there was a big conversation. There was an ideation. There was, you know, I don't know where it actually ended up. But, like, this is radio.
This is radio. And we need to do this. Everyone needs to do this because radio doesn't stop when you leave the studio. And there's now 8 different things happening in the studio itself. And then it continues all day long. The amount of, it's not just prepping the show. It's the socials that you're doing after the show, the videos that you're recording after the show. It's reaching the community like we never reached before. I was so lucky to grow up in the Rick Buckley and Joe Bellotto world, and I miss them both dearly. We were out there in the community like no one else, and you have to be. But you will be utilizing all these remarkable technologies and platforms in order to do so these days.
All right, Heather, let's walk through your journey for a little bit. I think our audience would be interested in that path. So again, you're a 14-year-old, you walk in, you get bit by the radio bug, you end up working with, and I use the word family, because I worked for family, truly a family, and
indeed,
you work for a family, and that is a very special relationship, and those of us that have had that path have been blessed by that path. But then you decide, I'm going to go do something else. Pick up the story there.
Well, I did. So I worked for the Buckley family and WOR for almost a decade. I went to program a women's radio network that was founded by Jane Fonda and Gloria Steinem. But it was lifestyle issues of the day, right concept, maybe the wrong time. I was so fortunate, though, because I met so many wonderful people during my time at Greenstone, including my boss, Eric Weiss. And I remember I sat next to Eric at a Dennis Miller Westwood One launch party back in the day. So that had to be 19 years ago or 19 and a half, 20 years ago, something like that. And I knew that Eric represented Casey Kasem and Bob Kingsley and all these great names that we miss, and some people that I still get to listen to today who are fantastic. And we started talking. And we became fast friends. And I enjoyed working at Greenstone, but my company went under. And it went under within about 12 hours. And I was fortunate because it was 2007. So there were still opportunities. 2008, I don't think Eric would have called. But I joined him 3 weeks after my company went under. And I thought he was crazy because I don't have the legal background. He certainly does. And he said, don't worry, I'll support you in that way. But you love talent. You don't want to be talent. You've never wanted to be talent. You want to be there rooting them on and championing them and getting in front of people and making sure they can get in front of the right people. So he called that day, and I was very fortunate to join him. And it's been over 17 and a half years, or about 17 and a half years. I'm based in New York. My team is in Los Angeles. And every single day, I have fun. Every single day, I worry about people. There's many sleepless nights because when a client is out of work, that keeps me up.
Right.
I need to make sure that they can put food on the table. And it's a challenging time right now, but Mike, I'm still optimistic and I still love this business. And we, you know, the vibe here, the energy here is just exciting for me. And we'll reset, but we will be okay. We're just doing things a little differently.
You've mentioned students, and
yes.
I know that Hofstra is really important to you, and
yes,
we have
is.
A member of our team who was one of those students who, you know, in a way you mentored and certainly invested in. Talk about your relationship with Hofstra and what the next generation means to you.
You know, everything. Next generation is everything. I never left Hofstra. I was so fortunate to work at WRHU for Marconi Awards. I always like to brag about
that's
that.
Good.
that radio station, as a student, I learned the ins and outs. You know, I started as an intern at WOR. The other intern was getting coffee. I was splicing tape. And I'm dating myself, but yes, I was splicing tape with
that
a razor blade.
That means razor blade, tape,
yes.
And a China marker.
I could get sibilance out of anything. but we need them. And when I see especially the students at Hofstra, I'm president of the alumni board at Hofstra, so I get to work with the students very often. And anytime I need to be energized, I spend a little time with them. And I'll tell you, I was speaking to a friend of ours, I won't say who it was, and he said, oh, so what's going on with Hofstra lately? We love hiring those students. They know what they're doing. We don't have to train them for 2 years. Like they actually have the foundation that we need and the passion and the desire. And there's so many other universities who are also so wonderful. But that's what I need. Sometimes if I just need a little jolt, I spend time with the students. And, you know, I do worry because when you and I were coming up, there was a real promotions team. There were vans. There were all these remotes. There was a bench. I worry because there's not enough time. We have to make the time to mentor and create a bench. But I want to make sure that we have people who are deeply interested in getting into the radio industry, because this is still fun and exciting. Every day is exciting if you look at it that way, if you look at it as an opportunity. So I'm very fortunate. I get to do a commencement address at one of the Hofstra graduations coming up. And I cannot wait to speak to the communication students and the business students and the engineering students. That's our future, and we need to embrace them and take time every week or every day to spend a little time mentoring. And that's just something, I feel like I was so fortunate to have so many mentors in this business, men and women, and it's become a mission to me to make sure, no matter how busy I am, make time to give back, because you will reap the benefits. You will feel good about it. I will get more than they will get out of that conversation.
Well, I love that passion in you, and you and I share that when it comes to the investing in that next generation. And there are so many stories of success. And, you know, the next Heather, the next Mike, the next Erica, we don't know what their path is going to be, but they're out there.
Oh, yes, they are.
They are out there, and it's up to us to invest in them. Okay, last question for you, and then thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
What is it that I am so excited about? Answer that question.
I am so excited about the content that we're putting out as an industry. I feel the importance, right now it just feels the importance of connecting with the community again. It feels like we desperately need that, people desperately need that, especially so many people working remotely. We need connection, and this industry offers connection. And the content, I mean, looking at this floor, looking at what you're doing here with ENCO, we have the ability of offering content like no one else. No one does it better than we do, right? Yeah. Than the radio industry. And no one reinvents themselves better than we do. So I am inspired by what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, and the passion that I see from our friends at these radio, audio companies. I need that connection. Everyone needs that connection. Every day, something excites me.
Love it. Heather Cohn, our guest. We are on Main Street, literally, inside the NAB West Hall. We thank ENCO for hosting us. I thank you for spending and investing a few minutes with us in this discussion today.
Thank you for what you do for the industry. It's been wonderful working with you.
Thank you.
A key takeaway from our discussion with Heather is the importance of evolving, learning new technologies, and above all, embracing change and being passionate about what's ahead, as importantly as the next generation of broadcasters are looking to the future. We have an obligation to mentor. We also have an obligation to open doors for the next generation of broadcasters.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.